You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. Right, you guys ready for some more kaiju action? Because we're all about kaiju action now. It's what's going on. We're like, this is like kaiju meetup, right?
I thought this was Kaiju Anonymous. Chris, that's not your real name, of
no,
course. My name is not Marco.
Kaiju Curious.
I don't know. Yeah. Your name is not Kaiju Allen.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So officially. Explain your relationship with your kaiju. When did you first meet it? And, is the kaiju in the room with us now?
After this movie, thankfully not. No.
Well, I know that you were probably among the three of us the one who liked this movie the least.
I can't imagine anyone in the world liking it less than me.
Fair enough.
I really didn't like it.
We were talking about Godzilla X Kong, which is...
The X is silent.
A confusing title. But
did you hear that?
What?
They did like a press release to be like, the X is silent.
Well, that's dumb.
It's so stupid.
It used to be pronounced Twitter, but now they don't do that.
Godzilla Twitter Kong.
Godzilla Twitter Kong.
Yeah. Man, if this movie had just been a series of tweets between Godzilla and King Kong, I would have loved it.
That would have been great. Kaiju trash talk. That's it. It's just a flame war between two ancient entities.
Well, yeah. The last one's like Godzilla versus Kong, right? Also directed by the same director, Adam Wingard. And like Godzilla X Kong was just like, why don't we put between this that's not versus? Because they're not, I mean, there is a fight between the two of them to be sure, but like, you know, eventually it can't be.
The title means like nothing. It's like Godzilla...
They ran out of
Kong,
letters.
The sequel will be
Godzilla Y Kong.
Yeah.
But this does follow right on the heels of that one. It is the fifth film in the MonsterVerse franchise. And also, I mean, I guess you count the Monarch television series on Apple as being part of that as well. That is definitely like ties in a lot of this stuff together. It's the 38th film of the Godzilla franchise and 13th film in the King Kong franchise, and brings back several of the stars in the previous films, including Rebecca Hall and Brian Tyree Henry, but brings in my favorite new character into this, Dan Stevens, who is by far the best part of this movie for my
money. I saw the previous film. It's mostly out of my mind. So I'm sitting there going, was he in this last movie? Why does he seem so different? I was thinking of Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, I'm guessing he passed
on this one. And they're like, well, let's just bring in some other ex-boyfriend. And it's Dan Stevens. And you're kind of convinced that he was just high the whole movie.
I mean, let's start my faint praise of this movie. The things I did, like, he does seem to be the only person having fun. Like, he's the only one, like... He's performing, there. He knows what movie he's in.
He's there to be the guy who's just like, woohoo!
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, I know we're in the danger of our lives, but come on, guys, or this is amazing,
and,
right?
Yeah, he's a very specialized kaiju dentist.
Or kaiju veterinarian.
Oh, vet. That's what he is, a vet. Yeah.
There's a very funny bit where they set up that he and Rebecca Hall, who has now been promoted at Monarch to be like a higher level at Monarch, and... that they went to college together and used to date, whatever. I'm sure that will be relevant in a future film. Yeah. But we're just like, yeah, you. I remember what you told me. It's like, oh, you just don't take stuff seriously. And then and now you're like, oh, well, I got a serious job as a veterinarian. And then you took literally the most ridiculous version of that job imaginable. Which is like, I'm a veterinarian specifically to kaiju.
Have you ever tried to use a rectal thermometer on a kaiju? I don't recommend it. I mean, you got to be a little crazy to sign up for that gig.
Well, the story here follows after the last one, where Kong has been basically moved to Hollow Earth, because now we've established that inside the Earth is hollow, and there's just kaiju fucking everywhere down there. And he's like, the idea is like, there was none of his family are left on Skull Island. There's no more Kongs, or whatever you call them. And there's also no more of the race that the little girl who could speak to Kong,
the Iwi,
through sign language, the Iwi, that there's no more of her family left either. So she's been living with Rebecca Hall's adopted mom, and she's not really fitting in because, well, why would you? She's like, oh, you know, she can't speak. She's mute.
Yeah. I grew up on an island worshiping an enormous gorilla. How am I going to relate to the average 12-year-old?
Whereas, like, people, except for France, apparently, have largely adapted to Godzilla being like, okay, if a kaiju pops up and they know there's kaiju all over the place, they largely stick to their own territory. But if they pop up someplace they're not supposed to, Godzilla wakes up from his convenient nest, which is the Colosseum in Rome,
which is the world's largest cat bed now.
Yeah, exactly. And just goes, oh, there's some shit going on, and I got to go take care of it.
Which, by the way, in order to do that, he not only destroys, you know, precious relics, he's just like crashing through things with bridges. It was a really weird watching that the same week that we had the bridge collapse in Baltimore. And I'm just like, oh, all those people died. I'm so glad that Godzilla's here to save us from the kaiju, but did he have to kill so many people on the way to the job site?
But Godzilla isn't tiptoeing around. He doesn't care. He's just walking around,
I mean, he's a very direct... I mean, I guess they go, like, in the long run, in the bigger picture, it would have been much worse.
Yes.
You know, if there wasn't another giant monster to take out the giant monster that's doing the thing. Because at least once the giant monster that just wants to kill everyone is dead... Godzilla just goes to sleep.
I mean, the only way to stop a bad kaiju is a good kaiju.
No, I mean, I was like, you know, spoiler, I texted to a friend of mine. I was like, yay, all the bad monsters are dead and the good monsters won. In related news, millions dead, trillions in property damage, including some of the most famous monuments on the planet Earth.
Just like Godzilla is a terrible person. He's a terrible roommate, and the room is the entire city in which you live.
But they... there's this weird signal that's coming out, and it, like, the monarch doesn't know what to do with it. We're like, what is the signal? But the main thing is the little girl who's the last survivor of Skull Island is like having dreams about it. And like, okay. Cause her whole thing is a telepathic connection to Kong and all this. Like, and they figure out, oh, it's some sort of weird, like, help signal that's coming out. So before you know it, everybody, you know, the regular crew, Brian Tyree Henry somehow included in this, because he's got to be the guy who's like, this is scary, why did I do this, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna complain the whole time, and also inexplicably give exposition that there's no way he could know
because he's a podcaster and we know everything.
True. Have to go down to Hollow Earth and figure out, A, why their station, which they have in Hollow Earth, has stopped broadcasting, but what's going on here? In the long run, what this ends up with is that there's a new threat, which is basically the next generation of Planet of the Apes movies, but writ bigger.
Yeah.
And
can we also take a moment to acknowledge that this new threat is coming from underneath Hollow Earth.
Yeah,
it's even, there's a layer under Hollow Earth. There's literally
a Hollow Earth inside Hollow Earth.
And like, you know this because when the map opens up, there's like they have a 3D printout of what it is, and it's like undiscovered zone, and it's like mapped out. It's like, what?
I'm laughing.
That's called the Earth's core.
They do the same shots they did in the last movie where it's like, look at how beautiful it is. I'm like, it looks exactly like the last Hollow Earth. It's just deeper.
A little darker.
It's just deeper.
Honestly,
there's a lot more apes in it.
Just you describing this again is making me sleepy, like, all over again. It's just like the first 30 to 40 minutes of this movie are just pure exposition, dump, gobbledygook. Like, nothing matters or makes sense. And it's the dumbest shit. I think I'm just... Oh my God! I'm
so sorry that Matt Frank couldn't join us today. He got held up. He was going to join us because right now I can only imagine the look of pain on his face.
Yeah, just horror.
You know, like, how dare you? And he shot me that look at that once before when I said, you know, nobody goes to see these movies for the plot or the human characters. He's like, excuse me, and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, not the American ones.
I mean, let's be fair. Like, this was a bad choice of release date after so recently getting, I would say, the best Godzilla movie, Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
Like, that's a solid, really great film that I remember, like, I even just watched it at home. They sent me a screener, and I was like, okay, everybody says it's the greatest, but I'm not the world's biggest kaiju fan. I've seen all of them, but I'm still like, okay. And like, even my wife, who doesn't watch these type of movies with me, it was just one of those, like, I'm on the couch and I don't want to move, got sucked into it. And she was like, damn, that was actually a good movie. I know.
It's the movie you show to people when they say, oh, kaiju movies, big monster movie, they're stupid. And this is movie, Godzilla X Kong. That's the movie you show people when you want to remind them, you know, sometimes these are just dumb.
Well, see, and the thing is, I go in for dumb blockbusters. I mean, I typically...
No, I know. You and I will be the guys that will defend like, the dumb sometimes, blockbusters.
But like, man, you got to be at least entertaining. Like, there's a smart way to be dumb. And I kind of feel like Godzilla vs. Kong was riding that wave a little bit. It's very dumb and it's very stupid. But the monster fights are good. It's stupid in the right ways.
Yeah.
And this
I agree with that.
So lacking in every mark of entertainment.
I don't agree with that, though.
Oh. No. There's one good moment in this movie, and I'll get to it when we get to it in the plot or something.
I think that easily Kong Skull Island is the best of the MonsterVerse films, you know, of this thing. I mean, that movie I go back to and go, this was fun to watch. I've rewatched it several times and I always go, this is a genuinely good movie. You could only watch this one and not feel like you're being left out on anything. And it's a good time. But my second favorite is the last one, Kong versus Godzilla, because it's that one that goes, well, the biggest complaints we've had about the first two Godzilla films, they were too boring, because they are. And this one is not boring. It's dumb as fuck, but it just keeps going constantly and keeps going like, oh, you thought that was dumb. Wait for this. But this one has this point where it goes to, like, I'm with it. I'm like, okay, I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. There's a point in the middle act where you're just like, wait, what? Oh, and it gets dumb in a way that it's trying to be kind of sweet, but it just ends up being corny.
Well, and the thing is, there's two ways of being boring. Like, there's those first couple Godzilla movies, which are boring in sort of like a somber, quiet way until there's a big thing that happens. And this one's like boring, except there's like a strobe light and screeching music happening the whole time because it's so loud and annoying and it's giving me nothing. So it's like, how are you boring and annoying? Like, it's so great.
I mean, look, you know, this is basically porn, right? I mean, you're going to... If you wanted to, you could fast forward to get to the good parts, so to speak.
You can call anything porn if you jerk off to it, Marco.
Well, you know, I mean,
it's too bad Matt Frank's
you have
not
a
here
much greater imagination than I do then.
Yeah.
But the movie finally kicks in that third act, and you're like, finally, we're getting some monster-on-monster action. And I enjoyed that. There was some really good staging there. I think the new villain is kind of compelling. And there is a moment when we do meet this other tribe of large apes. And they do a smart thing, which is they have long scenes that they're actually communicating without language. And I'm like, just the animation is really good because I'm like, I can see exactly what's happening here. The power plays, you know, the kind of shifts in position. And that's good animation because it's all done through physicality and those things aren't even there.
Yeah, I would say this is like the 10-minute section or so of the movie, which is the only like decision that was made, like artistic decision.
Yeah.
And where it kind of becomes a silent film for a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's just like all just through actions and stuff.
Like,
and
what if you had a kaiju movie with no people and it was just the kaiju relating to one another? And that'd be hard to do.
It is. And that is the one interesting thing. And it was the one part of this movie where it was like, I kind of locked into
but
it.
But I also was kind of thought this was all kind of silly. It was just like, okay, so there's this whole like fascist society of Kongs. And that Kong's got to come in. Like, all right. So this stems to right from the beginning when they show Kong in this movie. I'm like, I feel like they over-humanized him. They like made him to a point where I was like, I feel like I'm just watching a guy.
He's got a cavity.
Like, I feel like I can see the suit of the guy. And I'm just like, I don't feel like I'm watching a gorilla. I feel like I'm watching a guy pretending to be a gorilla. Because he's like, it's just too human at points. And I felt like that did nothing but make that even more exemplified. But the problem is, just like the last one, the Godzilla's not a huge part of the story.
No, it's
like it's about Kong again, and they spend so much time with that I'm like, I really expected there to be like a post-credit scene where he actually says human words or something, you know? It's like, Kong hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with like, I mean, it's going to be that way in these movies because Godzilla, like in a lot of Godzilla movies, and I'm not a big Godzilla head, but the few that I've seen, not a ton of screen time for Godzilla. He shows up when it's time to like get shit going. But Kong, people could relate with, because like monkey, so close, you know, ape, close to human, facial expressions, all this. Even in the original, like, 33
yeah.
Kong,
yeah,
just his mannerisms when he kills the dinosaur and plays with it, people were like, oh, you know, you can relate to that. You still can't relate to that
like
big lizard.
You still feel like you're seeing an ape that has things that remind you of human behavior. Yeah. Here he really did feel like he was just like...
It's like a step too far.
I mean, Kong is always going to be the identifying character. Yeah. I mean, it's like when Aliens versus Predator came out and they had the poster like, Aliens versus Predator, pick a side, either side you lose. I'm like
I'm picking Predator.
It's like the Predator. Why would you pick the alien?
Clearly picking
the
Predator.
The Predator is at least kind of like us.
Like, they can make starships.
They have a civilization. Yeah. They have a code of honor.
Pick a humanoid with intelligence or just a giant cockroach that will murder you.
Yeah, Godzilla is not like a xenomorph, but it's very clear that he is kind of an alien figure on our planet. And, you know, Kong, like Chris said, you can relate to him, and maybe it sounds like you think they overdid that.
Now, I will say, I think the fight scenes delivered like crazy.
Well,
here, and we're going to disagree.
Even the last one?
I thought it was amazing, man. I thought the whole Rome fight sequence at the end is incredible.
Oh my God. I was like, so pissed. Because
really?
It's so annoying to me because I know this is pre-vised CGI. You know, you just have to decide how you want to shoot it or how you want it like presented. And there's like so many edits and close-up action, like it's a goddamn Bourne film where I can't see it. And it's like, this isn't like a stunt you had to capture.
There are moments that I felt that way as well.
Take a step back and let me show me this epic shit. Like, it's all made up.
They do a lot of like, wait, we're just looking at dust and shit flying for like 30, like 20 seconds.
Way too close in. Like, and I think we have to get a Kong vs. Godzilla skirmish, you know. Yeah. I thought that fight was actually good, which is maybe the best moment.
The wrestling
thing,
fight.
Where Godzilla...
It's the wrestling
Godzilla fight. Straight up suplexes King Kong.
Yeah,
and it's just like... That is the one moment in this movie I was like, that was kind of tight. Everything else kind of had a grimace on my face. But like when you see this Kong's little feet straight up in the air and a full-on like WWF style suplex, I was like, holy shit.
But we have waited so long for Godzilla to show up. I mean, he's in this movie about as much... as, I don't know, Steven Seagal is in Under Siege.
Yeah.
Except the difference is there, you wanted to hide him.
Executive decision.
Executive decision. Any good movie with Seagal is the one where they keep him off screen and focus on the villains. Here, you know, Godzilla does finally show up, and you're just like, you know they're going to team up. Can we just get through this? But you're right, Alan, that was a standout. They're like,
and
we know they're going to fight.
It's cool because they're in the desert. It's like there's something...
They basically have to go to destroy Egypt. Every time we go to a new... nation with a new monument, you're like, okay, here's the boss fight stage.
The main thing that annoyed me in this film was actually Brian Tyree Henry, because I think that he was used in a really poor way here. He's like both this annoying whiny, oh, we're all gonna die guy, and also this guy who, I mean, I said it earlier, inexplicably understands incredibly complex shit going on. There's no way he could understand. It doesn't even make sense how possibly he could understand,
Chris,
what's going on.
He did his own research. Yeah. Everyone who did their own research on the internet knows everything.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about like once they're in Hollow Earth and he's suddenly
together.
He like looks at one of the people and goes like, okay, so what this is this incredibly complex idea. I'm like, wait, what? How would you possibly know this?
It's one of the things. It's just making me like more and more allergic to these types of blockbusters. It's like you have Rebecca Hall, who's great.
Yeah, she's always great.
Henry. You have like these like great actors.
See The Night House with Rebecca Hall.
So
it's one of the best horror films of the last 10
years.
But they're
essentially like hiring these like Oscar nearing caliber actors to come in and just give you, it's like the exemplification of a paycheck movie. Like they're not giving anything to do. They're not really performing. They're just saying exposition. And it's like, check, please,
but
in front of this
Alan,
green screen.
The
and
check
it's
is so good.
I'm not mad at them for doing it. Like, get your money. I get it. Like, I had to go stand in front of a green screen and be like, King Kong, get the Hollow Earth, the 3D printer. It's like, what gives a shit?
If they asked me tomorrow, I'd be in any dumb movie. 100%.
But, like, watching it is, like, as an audience member who, like, and you don't have to give me much. I'm not, like, looking for fucking Citizen Kane here. I'm not even looking for, like, Peter Jackson's King Kong. I'm not even looking for like the shittier Godzilla from like 1987 or whatever. I'm just give me anything. And it was just the emptiest, like CGI, like cartoony, like nothing.
It's very
like,
cartoony.
It's an animated film. The bulk of the runtime, you're watching an animated movie. Yeah.
And
but it's animated well.
Yeah. I mean, sure. But like
sometimes.
But even then, the action isn't good for me. And then, like, when I get a human element, all they're doing is talking to me about Hollow Earth. bullshit.
You felt like, it was hollow.
Yeah, it was just like, it's like, I have nothing anywhere to hold on to in this movie. All right, so Alan, mad.
Why don't you go to your final thoughts?
Oh, okay, so honestly, when we were kind of like trying to figure out scheduling for this, and I was like, didn't know if I was going to make it one night or the
other. You guys don't know the struggle we had.
Yeah. I honestly debated, like, maybe I should just record myself farting for as long as I can. Send it in and be like, here's my review. Just play it at the end.
Well, you How dare you take my idea?
I just really, and it is harmed by the fact that, like, Godzilla Minus One ruled, and it kind of came out of nowhere for me. I'm not a big Godzilla guy, like I said. And I was like, you know what? I've heard this is good. Go see it. And it kind of blew my hair back.
Yeah.
Like, what little hair I have left. And then I came, like, to this. It's like, I liked Godzilla vs. Kong enough, but that was also during COVID. It was a big blockbuster that was like came out to your house. And it was kind of fun just to see something really big and dumb.
Yeah.
We were no movies are coming out. And this is just coming at the worst time, like, in, like, early, like, this spring release blockbusters. Movies have been kind of shitty this year. And this is, like, I was hoping for some big, dumb, fun shit.
All we had was Dune 2 and Love Lies Bleeding this year. Those were good.
Dune 2 is going to carry me. All dumb,
fun shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dune 2 is going to carry me for a while because that's, like, again, that's a blockbuster that is, like, so fucking good. And when you, like, it's crazy to think that, like, that and this are technically, like, the same thing. They're blockbuster movies, and they just couldn't be further apart in so many levels. And for all purposes, these are like studio films, and they're like, let's make a lot of money with these. And like one of them is just like so fucking good, and it's crazy that this could be so fucking bad. So I'm giving it like a 2.5 big old farts out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Marco?
I mean, I liked it a little bit more than Alan.
Three big farts?
At least. as soon as the mic's off, I'll let them out.
Okay,
good. But, you know, this is one of those cases where, like, what you get in is what you get out of it. I mean, whatever you want out of this movie, if you want something big and dumb, you're going to get that. If you want something more like Godzilla Minus One, which is just, this ain't it.
Yeah, don't go into this with those expectations.
And you know, those are two different franchises, basically, two different film visions. The way I compared it was Godzilla Minus One is like, you know, gourmet mac and cheese paired with a nice wine. You know, it's got some Gruyere and things.
Yeah, breadcrumbs.
They toasted it. You know, it's just really perfect.
This is Kraft.
And this movie is like that little single serving microwavable cup of Kraft American cheese.
That fell on the floor upside down. You know. And you picked it up.
But the truth is, you're
going to... 5 second rule.
You're going to eat it either way, but one is undeniably superior to the other. I still had fun with this, but I agree, like Alan, there were moments where I was like, this is so fucking dumb. I can only suspend my disbelief so much. I mean, there's so many Deus Ex Machinas in here. A hollow earth under the hollow earth. I mean, how far does this rabbit hole go? I mean, really, they're going to get down to the bottom and it's just like Gamera. Surprise, I'm here too. It doesn't
that would
really
have been go. Great. I would give this 10 stars.
I did not sit through the end credits, so who knows? That might have been in
there. No, there wasn't. I looked it up.
Or you know what? Surprise. Actually, it's Jimmy Hoffa. They finally found him. He's in the hollow earth, under the hollow earth, under the other hollow earth, under the other hollow earth.
Did they turn this into a mob thriller?
Oh, that'd be great.
Isn't that just Australia?
It's like Martin Scorsese's Godzilla. I'd be all about it. But yeah. I had some fun in that final act, and I did really like the animation of the apes because I felt like there was some animators doing some real acting decisions, and that's an art form, but that was not enough to carry this movie. I'm going to give this 4.5 out of 10 giant size infected teeth.
I like this more than both of y'all, but I still didn't by any means really like it. I just was like, I had some shit go on today. I'm not going to... describe what it was, but literally as I pulled up to the theater, I got the news and I was like, well, this is the bleakest thing. I need this big dumb movie in my life right now. And I think I enjoyed it more partially because of that. Yes. 'Cause I'm like, please give me a big dumb movie. That's all I want. Honestly, the only thing that really bugged me here was in the middle act as it goes into the whole, like, some of the Hollow Earth stuff with the other humans in the Hollow Earth. I was like, this is getting weirdly, like, I don't know, sensitive or something. Like, it was trying to do something that was not going to come to anything.
Well, it's like they're overcomplicated a thing. We're like, we came here to see monsters fuck each other up.
Yeah.
We don't need
this. Well, no, but people have always made those complaints, and I don't always agree with those complaints. Like, I think there's plenty, there's been other Godzilla movies where I'm like, people have said the same thing, and I've gone like, I like the humans in this one.
But this is so convoluted. It's so like,
it is, but so was the last one, and I liked that one. This one, I was just like, I felt like the point where they get into the super silliness inside the Hollow Earth started to get boring. Just like, guys, come on. The only thing saving it was Dan Stevens, who I thought was delightful in this and was always funny. He always had the right lines and moments. He had a few nice moments with Brian Tyree Henry that like saved it a little bit. But Brian Tyree Henry is like the low point of this film, which I hate to say because I love him. I think he's terrific.
It's all in the writing and the characterization. It's all in the writing.
It's all in the writing. Ability. Exactly. Yeah. I think the monster fights in here are really solid. I enjoyed the fuck out of them. Although I do admit that, yes, there are points that you're just like, okay, so we're just lost in dust here. It happens a little too often. But when you do see what's happening, I'm like, oh, that was cool. That was well planned. And there's neat stuff. I think that there's an issue with me with like, why are we just watching the next Planet of the Apes movie, but they're kaiju under here? It just felt silly, like really silly past like plausibility where I'm like, I don't, what? And Kong being so human, like Kong is the hero of this film. Like no question, he's supposed to be the hero of this film. And to the point that he is no longer considered a threat to humanity on any level, like no one is threatened.
There's
he's like
down there in Hollow Earth.
Like he literally comes up to primary Earth early in this film to have a tooth extracted, and like knowing, yeah, they'll take care of me, it'll be fine.
I mean,
they're like with no feeling of threat or fear from anyone involved, and I'm just like, this is where we are now. He's not just, even faintly a threat on
Kong
any
is another
level?
Victim of medical tourism. I mean, you gotta sometimes go outside to another country to get the good deals, man.
It's just like, I was laughing watching. I was like, what? But you know, this is another absurd film in the MonsterVerse. I mean, honestly, I've said Kong Skull Island is the best of the movies, but my favorite thing of the MonsterVerse has been the Apple TV show, partially because it feels like Lost. It's a slow build. When it has the fights, they're great and they're movie quality, but like mainly it really is about the characters and good characters and interesting interactions and cool, like, whoa, you don't know what's going to happen with the characters. Like here, I'm just like, it's just about biding your time till the monster fights. Like, and ultimately a lot of that is kind of boring. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 classic Godzilla villains that literally just get ripped apart. like almost they could have done it off screen. It wouldn't have mattered. You're just like, Tiamat, really? Oh, that's so sad. You deserve more. Yeah.
And you know what? And none of us mentioned the little baby Kong, which shows how like,
oh, well, no, the baby Kong thing. I'm like, all right, so he's no Godzuki. I'll say that. And I fucking hate Godzuki with a passion. I'm like,
and this guy's not even
I'm
that.
I'm angry about the existence of Godzuki. I'm okay with baby Kong.
I hated that little guy.
I'm okay with baby Kong here. Look, I felt like it was a necessary thing to make what was going on with him work. But at the same time, I wish they had found a whole different thing to do other than that, all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, and it is kind of a nice moment when Kong's like, oh my God, there's people like me. When he meet, that's a great gag when they introduce that kid and he looks like he's huge. And then Kong's like melts. He's like, oh, and then they're like, no, fuck you. You're the enemy. It's like, oh, okay. Is he a good guy or bad guy?
But you go also, you know, what happens next?
Yeah.
Like what are you going to, like, I've been reading stuff online where it feels like they're also like, shit, I think we wrote ourselves into our corner.
Yeah. It's like now we have a huge race of Kongs and the next one will be Rise of the Giant Apes.
Honestly, I'm going to put it down now. I think it's aliens because in the original Godzilla series, it always came down to aliens. Yeah. And there's even a reference here where they specifically mention aliens.
Yeah.
Like, but it's an offhand line, but I'm just like, it's the only way to go.
Well, because that was Ghidorah's thing. Because Ghidorah was from another planet.
Yeah, the only way to go here is to bring it, okay, now the aliens have come down, are sending signals and activating all the kaiju.
Oh my God. Kong versus alien versus predator. Make it happen.
I mean, Predator really wouldn't have much of a chance there.
Oh, you know.
He's got a spaceship.
All the predators would go, that is the ultimate game. We are going to hunt a Kong.
Wait, do they have access to Pym particles?
Wrong franchise.
Then I would watch that.